and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. The 2020 election will be front and center inside a federal courthouse in the nation's capital when former President Trump is arraigned. He faces four felony charges, including that he conspired to overturn the election to hold on to power. ABC's Aaron Katursky is outside court in Washington, D.C.
It asks a question that no court ever has considered, and that is, can a sitting president spread lies aiming to overturn the will of the people and cling to power knowing that he lost the election? It's an astonishing question in many ways, and it is unique in all of American jurisprudence.
In Pittsburgh, convicted killer Robert Bowers has been sentenced to death for killing 11 worshipers at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018, the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in the U.S. The Justice Department announced it has arrested and charged two Navy officers on charges they turned over classified military information to China. This is ABC News. The family of U.S. service member Travis King speaking out after King crossed over the border from South to North Korea. His mom says she is worried, saying it doesn't sound like something he would do. The U.S. says it knows little about his whereabouts. Tens of thousands of Hyundai and Kia vehicles recalled over a potential fire risk.
Over 91,000 Hyundai and Kia vehicles are being recalled because damaged electrical components can cause the electric oil pump to overheat, leading to a fire. The Kia recall impacts certain 2023 to 2024 Kia Seltos, Soul, and Sportages. The Hyundai recall involves certain newer model Palisades, Tucson, Sonatas, Elantras, and Konas. Owners are being told to park their vehicles outside, away from any structures, until repairs are completed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Environmental activists in the UK scaled Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's private home, draping his house in black fabric. They're protesting his government's policy on drilling for oil. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. A man is dead after a standoff with law enforcement in Osceola. At 10:15 yesterday morning, Osceola police were called to a home for possible domestic abuse. A man was outside of the home and fled inside after police arrived. According to a release, police held their positions for several hours before hearing a gunshot from inside of the home. When they went inside, they found the man dead and said that he apparently shot himself. An autopsy is being done at the Ramsey County Medical Examiner's Office. The death is under investigation by the Polk County Sheriff's Office. Tuesday's drawing for a jackpot worth over $1 billion didn't have a jackpot winner, but somebody in northwestern Wisconsin became a millionaire. The Wisconsin Lottery said that a $1 million winning Mega Millions ticket was sold at the Quick Trip in Bloomer. The winning $1 million ticket was one of just seven sold for Tuesday's drawing nationwide. The jackpot for Mega Millions grew to an estimated $1.25 billion with the next drawing tomorrow night. From the Civic Media News Desk in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Just south of 50th and France and Edina. Again, greatwallyedina.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here today. Jam-packed. A former Democrat of the day, Anita Gall, is going to join us. That's from Senate District 15. Is the district that she was in, she was running. We're going to talk to her because reality is that I got to give her some praise. And I'll save that here. Robert Barilla is in town this weekend. He's got a show that's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We are moments away from having Ilhan Omar join us. Ilhan Omar, of course, Representative Minnesota 5 in the U.S. House of Representatives. She is going to be in-house with us to talk with in a few moments. Gives me a quick bit of time here to talk about, Trump's in court right now. He's in court. I don't know if he has a hamburger and ketchup with him, but he's in court right now. And yet he looks so happy. Oh, he looks like he's having the time of it. Summer in D.C., man. It's just good times, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure it's a great day for him.
Representative Zier?
She is.
Well, great. We'll take a quick little break. Come on back. Representative Ilhan Omar, when we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Powderhorn Art Fair is returning to Powderhorn Park to celebrate its 32nd anniversary, August 5th and 6th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. The fair will feature a vibrant and diverse selection of art from over 150 exhibiting artists from across the country. Whether you're just starting an art collection or a seasoned buyer, they'll have the perfect piece for you. Plus, there's more. Immersive art installations offer fairgoers a chance to explore interactive experiences that transport them into an artist's vision. In addition to all the fantastic art, over a dozen food vendors serving up sweet and savory delights will be ready for you and other hungry fairgoers. A family zone will offer creative activities for kids of all ages and entertainment each day. The fair and activities are free to attendees. Make plans to head to Powderhorn Park on August 5th and 6th. Learn more at powderhornartfair.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
The Merity family of companies serve seniors and people with a wide range of disabilities. We provide home health care, hospice services, and accessible rental housing. This is Mary T, and we'd like you to join us. We're hiring direct care professionals, CNAs, nurses, and other support services. Our mission is to provide quality, personalized services to meet the unique and evolving needs of the people that we serve. Join a Minnesota family-owned company that was founded on a history of care. Apply today at marytinc.com/careers.
How does this sound? Doesn't this sound better? If you've decided to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota instead to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved when someone repurposes your old cabinets, fixtures, and lumber. Think of all the resources saved by diverting those building materials from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota makes it happen for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, funds are available to make the environmentally responsible alternative comparable to a typical demolition. For more information, check out betterfuturesminnesota.com. That's betterfuturesminnesota.com. Or call 612-351-8650. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse in Minneapolis.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Representing Minnesota's 5th District in the U.S. House of Representatives is Representative Ilhan Omar. She's kind enough to be in studio with me this afternoon. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, glad to be here with you.
Let's start off with what's going on as we speak. Donald Trump's in a courtroom, does not look like he's having a good day. Oh, it does not. He's being arraigned on his latest charges. But, I mean, if you've read, we've read through these are, he's trying to overthrow the government of the United States. Talk a little bit about this, because you've had a front row seat for this entire escapade. And here we are now finally seeing someone try to put some level of accountability on this man.
Yeah, I mean, we said that right after January 6th, that there needed to be accountability. And I think it's such a relief to see this case go forward, to see President Trump and his co-defendants be indicted for their role in January 6th. And I think it's also really telling, right, that he just continues to rack up these charges and that people in his orbit constantly get caught up in criminality. And I think it says something about the individual and it says something about the kind of country that we live in where a former president can be held to account.
They on January 6th, there were names that were being mentioned by the mob that was there. Mike Pence, you know, Nancy Pelosi, your name. People were calling specifically for violence against you. Now with these charges, we understand that was the goal, that these people were sent there to violently attack you if they got the chance. Yeah. That, I mean, for you, it's obviously we're protecting this country. But it's your own individualness that was specifically targeted by many of those people that were trying to storm the Capitol that day.
Yeah. I mean, I think what most people didn't realize is that, you know, this wasn't supposed to just be a nonviolent protest, a way in which people can share their disagreements in the way the elections went. This was supposed to cause intimidation. This was supposed to coerce certain members of Congress to act differently. This was to pressure the Vice President of the United States not to obey the Constitution and, you know, adhere to the oath that he took to protect and serve. And I think, you know, I've talked about the fact that 6 months I had to have a protective service done by Capitol Police, where they followed me for 24 hours a day because there were credible death threats leading up to the election and after the election. January 6th, I was fortunate enough to have these individuals remove me from the premises and was taken in to a special place with the leadership of the House and the Senate. And I remember, you know, some of the leaders being confused why I was there. And one of the one of the Capitol Police officers saying, you know, we couldn't trust that she wouldn't be personally harmed because there was no way for her to hide within the crowd. And for a lot of us, not only do we want retribution for, you know, what happened, we also want justice for ourselves and for every single person that was at the Capitol that day.
You are in a very different house, obviously, than you were last year. There was competency and things got done. I was truly an amazing first 2 years of the Biden administration with the Democratic House. Republicans have taken over. Not only do you have this entire clown car show of a Hunter Biden investigation, but they're not doing anything. They just basically seem to be, let's shut down the government today. You know, and it's to a point, I mean, there's a bit of a, as a person who's there to get things done, it's got to be a little bit exhausting to say, okay, are we going to do anything outside of basically natural disaster relief when we need it? Are we going to actually pass any bills?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just as an example, we were supposed to pass 12 appropriation bills before we went to recess, and we got one pass.
Yay!
and so if that track record you know, remains, we are not going to be able to pass and fund the government, which I think for a lot of these really insane members of Congress is fine because they don't want the government to function. They don't want people to have continuation in receiving their Social Security mm-hmm. checks, their disability checks, for veterans to receive their benefits. They don't even want the IRS to do its work. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do hope that we get to a place where, you know, McCarthy develops a backbone and a spine and stands up to these people and looks out for the country instead of just for his career and the dream of being a speaker. Because when you are sent as a representative of the people, you're supposed to do the work on behalf of the people.
He seems to be, that whole party seems to be betrothed to the extremist far right, the Lauren Boberts, the Chip Roys of the House that are out there just in kind of this bizarro land where they're like Twitter trolls come to life, where they're fascinated with their own press that they make for themselves. And, you know, there seems to be this idea that, oh, we should crash the government. There's a real call right now, a question of whether or not McCarthy, as you said, is going to get that spine and maybe work with Democrats to get a budget passed so that we don't shut down the government.
Yeah. I mean, when we were in the midst of the debt ceiling debate, a lot of them were saying they wanted us to default. And because of how long it took for us to figure out that conversation, which we eventually ended up avoiding a catastrophe, it cost our bond rating to be degraded. And, you know, I am worried that they are going to be thinking politically only and lead to a government shutdown in the hopes that they will mess up the economic recovery that Democrats have been focused on. You know, in those 2 years, the first 2 years of the Biden administration, we passed an infrastructure bill. Everybody talked about passing an infrastructure bill, but Democrats got it done.
Yes.
You know, we passed the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, historic investments in addressing the climate crisis. We passed the CHIPS Act, bringing back manufacturing to the country. There's so many, you know, the bipartisan gun violence prevention bill. There's so many really incredible policies that we passed that people are still waiting to feel its full impact, but it has really set us apart from the rest of the world, where many economies are still struggling while ours is in huge recovery mode.
And we should mention the last time they did shut down the government under Ted Cruz and that crew, that it cost us billions. I mean, they're just to get things started back up again cost us billions. Mm-hmm. So there was no net gain. There was nothing. It was just basically a dog and pony show that ended up basically costing the American people more taxpayer dollars.
Exactly. And they didn't get a single thing.
And nothing.
That they wanted in causing that shutdown. I think it was the longest shutdown in the history of the United States. Right after I got sworn in, I think we were shut down for 35 days, which meant, you know, those of us who were sworn in to the 116th Congress didn't have the ability to actually provide constituent services for those 35 days. And mm-hmm. I think the impact isn't just, you know, whether the government will continue to do its job, but it's also whether your representatives will be able to provide the constituent services that you need when you are desperate for those services.
See, and this is the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. I talk to Democrats, and there's always this, you, Klobuchar, Tina Smith, you know, Dean Phillips. I'll talk to you guys, and it's, I'm here for my constituents. I've got a larger job here in the United States, but I'm also representing Minnesota, Minnesota 5, whatever the case may be. And the Republicans, they just, their constituents don't seem to be anywhere on their radar in regards to what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Which is really odd because they call themselves constitutionalists, right? They will say they follow the founding fathers. They want things to be run. There's a reason we're called the House of Representatives. We're technically supposed to represent the interest of the people. The reason we run every 2 years is because we are supposed to be held accountable by our constituents. We're supposed to be the ones closest to addressing their needs. And the fact that these people only care about politics and not policy to alleviate some of the struggles that people are having is shocking to me. I mean, I don't understand how there's this mockery of the people that we represent by focusing on, you know, the pornographic photos of Hunter, a private citizen, right, who's had these pornographic images stolen, essentially, and now it's being viewed by the public, and that access is being provided by the House of Representatives. How gross that must be, and also to call themselves Christians but want to look at these images, it's just it's so bizarre. I don't know what's happening.
As a Christian myself, I'll say that's weird. And Marjorie, whatever you do in your own private house, that's fine. But this is a committee hearing. Please stop.
Yeah, exactly. Also, do not subject your staff.
Yeah. Who got that
you know,
job?
Exactly. Yeah. Having to scroll through these photos to try to pick the most gross one.
I got a job for you here today. Let's see that copier over there. It's really large enlargements. Okay, no. Ilhan Omar, Representative Minnesota 5, kind enough to join us here today. I've heard from some Democrats who have talked about the Republicans and said the cameras are on and they're, you know, a howler monkey exhibit. They're just wild. But then you see them behind the scenes. They're interested. They're when the cameras are not on, they're asking questions. They're seeming to work things. Is that your experience, or does this clear disdain a lot of them have for you kind of continue even when the camera is not on?
No, it's actually the opposite.
Oh yeah.
So I'll give you an example. I sit on the House Budget Committee, and the conversations when we have a public hearing are just completely insane. You think we're talking about two different economies. We're, you know, talking about two different countries. we are talking about different sets of issues that Americans are facing and the ways in which we should address them. But when we are doing briefings, we're all together. There's no cameras. We're just having a conversation about different policies. It's more cordial. You know, people are more agreeable. There's a better discussion. And it's actually been really helpful for us on the Budget Committee to do less public hearings and to do more of the work behind the scenes, because we are actually able to have a sane conversation as opposed to the insane one that happens in front of the cameras. I think, you know, when C-SPAN was created, it was about bringing the people in and creating more transparency. But I think it sort of created a really sad incentive for people to put on their a performance hat and sort of audition in front of the public. And it's unfortunate.
One of the things I want to talk about as well is the you've been working on policy. We've had record heat across the country right now. Talk a little bit about that, because obviously I can't even comprehend Phoenix right now. I can't comprehend third degree burns. You're sitting on the pavement.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to the point where
you could fry an egg on the pavement as well.
It's uninhabitable areas. Yeah. We're going to get to this point. And not only is it affecting the population, but crops, water supplies. This is a real serious problem. What have you been working on there in D.C. to try to address this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem for us has been, looking at states like Texas, where they've passed legislation to say any protective ordinances that have been created, if they are not in line with the state policies, cannot be enforced. So that means for, you know, folks in Texas, if you live in a municipality where they have created an ordinance that gives you breaks during peak heat season, if you're working outdoors to get as much break as you need to have water and to sit and to, you know, be under shade, because we are human beings. We are not supposed to be, you know, exposed to the sun in 116 degree weather, right? We look at what's happening in other countries. I remember when the World Cup was happening, everybody was talking about the working conditions in Qatar. We have that here in the United States. And Texas is just a glaring example of that. And so what we are trying to do is push OSHA to try to develop a nationwide policy in addressing work conditions when it comes to extreme weather.
Well, and I was in the military, and I went to a boot camp through Fort Jackson, South Carolina, in summer. Delightful, by the way. Yes, I lost a lot of weight just sweating that one out. But I mean, even back then, the military, for example, I mean, they knew water breaks. You know, we're taking breaks and doing this. And there is this mentality. Texas is a great example of it. Is, oh well, we're going to get rid of all these rules, and so a few people might die. I mean, we've had this happen where people have gotten heat stroke and they die, and they just don't seem to care. And I mean, that is, and I don't believe in a nanny state, but I also don't believe in allowing, you know, governors and state legislators to kill off their own people just out of spite.
But I also want, like, people to understand we need work standards, right? That's not creating a nanny state.
Yeah.
We can't trust that every single business owner or corporation will be humane. We have to have certain standards that say, you know, these are the number of hours somebody should be working. These are the number of hours that people should, you know, be paid overtime. This is, you know, the kind of safety regulations that you should have in this workplace. And for us to even be debating on whether somebody should be able to take a water break as they see fit if they are working in a highway in Texas in 116 degree weather, it's insane to me.
Age requirements. We just had that here in the state of Minnesota, where we had kids working in meat processing plants underage. We just had a kid in Wisconsin pass away. I think it was a lumber job, and he should not have been working on the equipment. There does seem to be this element by these states to undo these laws, which are there for safety reasons, for a legitimate reason. It's not because someone just decided to make it up one day. We have to do these things.
I mean, the amount of regression that's happening in addressing some of these workers' rights issues is really appalling. I mean, we've got, you know, states like Arkansas that are making it easier for people to hire underage workers, and you know, I'm grateful that we live in Minnesota, where our legislators actually actively work to protect children. But it is really unfortunate, some of the things that we're seeing, and that's why we have to fight for these nationwide policies and federal regulation in this regard.
Water, speaking of summer water, important here. Hastings, we have lakes, we can't, and water bodies down there you can't take fish out of. Out in the west, we have nitrates levels so high in the water supply that we have warnings for kids and, you know, pregnant mothers not to be able to drink that water. Line 3 punctured a fourth aquifer up here. I'm glad the state Supreme Court knocked down that permit for the Polymet mine. But the reality is, I think we have to step back and look at water, because clearly here in just Minnesota, we've got this great resource and it's going to waste in a lot of places right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's I remember leading a delegation out to Line 3 to oppose it, obviously. And one of the members in that delegation was Corey Bush of St. Louis, Missouri. And the Mississippi there, you know, she's never been able to touch the water. And so she was, you know, cheerfully wanting to get in and touch the water. She said she's never seen it that clean. That's what we have to preserve, you know, trying to make sure that this water that is creating the opportunity for people to have clean drinking water is sustained and it's protected. It's a huge asset for us here in Minnesota and for so many other states as well.
One final thing. How you slings and arrows. I mean slings and arrows. I get a bad hair with just a little radio show. What is your mentality to deal with clearly a large portion of the population that really just dislikes you, and no matter what you do, they're always going to send hate, send vile things? You seem to have such a great disposition still. I mean, that is really remarkable.
I mean, I'm entertained by the sort of hate that drives people to be like the first one to comment really bizarre things in everything that I post, that they have so much energy that they set up notifications just to like write the weirdest stuff, or people who invest in having bots that do that to my social media posts. You know, I want to live in a world where we care for one another and we're loving towards one another. And you know, I think it's both entertaining and sad that these people exist, unfortunately, but they don't. I don't really care to feel any sort of way towards them, because I reserve my energy for, you know, the radical love that I want to spread, both in the policies I advocate for and the ways in which I show up in my community.
A master's class in taking lemons and turning it into lemonade. I mean, it really is. I really do enjoy the fact. I lost you, by the way. I lost you as my house rep. They moved my border like 3 blocks.
Oh, no.
So I'm with Dean now. Fine, I'll be
with
Dean.
That's very unfortunate.
I was so happy. I'm so happy, first of all, you're in the Minnesota 5th. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy you represent Minnesota. I'm so glad you're there.
Thank you.
It's an absolute privilege to be able to chat with you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time
today.
Well,
it's an honor and privilege to serve. So, and thank you for having me.
Representative from the Minnesota 5th Congressional District, Ilhan Omar, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. Anita Gall is going to join us when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
There are men and there are giants.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Believe it or not, barely a month from now, the kids will be back in school. So while you're getting some fresh looks for your kids before they head back, make sure to get a fresh look for your home, too, with my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Carpets, tile, rugs, upholstery, basically every surface in your home can be Zero Resified, so it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res. It's also the height of the summer allergy season, so it's the perfect time to get your air ducts cleaned. Get that nasty pollen and dust that's been swirling through your air conditioner out of your home. This month from Zero Res, get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at just $129 and take $75 off an air duct cleaning. You owe it to yourself, your kids, and your home to get the fall off to a good start. Call Zero Res today, 952-ZERO-RES, or schedule an appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, backward or forward, spells the same.
Hey, it's Tom. Going solar is a great way to save on energy costs. By using the sun to power your house, you can feel good about an investment that will last for years. All Energy Solar is a locally trusted turnkey solar installer that's been around since 2009. They provide custom designs and quality installations of solar panel systems that work for your energy needs. One of the best parts about going solar is it's an investment that can pay for itself. Your system can pay back 100% of the installation cost in as little as 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. There's also many tax incentives and rebates available, and the experts at All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process to make sure you're saving as much as possible. So go green, both financially and environmentally, with All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
AM 950's newest weeknight show, Ghost Box Radio, is giving away passes to the advanced screening of The Legend of Dracula is Born, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. The advanced screening is on Wednesday, August 9th at AMC in Rosedale. Tune in or watch Ghost Box Radio live on Facebook tonight at 10 for your chance to win. Join host Greg Bakken every weeknight for his great insight and riveting guests as he steps into the unknown. Ghost Box Radio live weeknights, 10 o'clock on AM 950.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 92. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 68. And Friday, sunny with a high near 87.
Get paid to upgrade. Warner Selling will buy your appliance for $50 during our trade-in sale.
No one else saves you more time, from shopping to free professional delivery like Warner Stellion. Put us to the test. Shop Minnesota family owned WarnerStellion.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So last year, during the Democrat of the Day segments, I welcomed on our next guest, Senate District 15. She ran out there and she did not win, but we're going to talk about how important she was. Anita Gall is kind enough to join us in studio and chat with us. Hi, Anita.
Greetings, Matt. It's nice to be here in studio instead of calling it in from my home in Marshall.
Well, it is nice to have you here. And she brought me corn and honey. Love you.
Straight from the farm.
Love you. She brought me a big thing of honey. None for you, Brad.
You could share with him.
I could.
Yeah. Share with Matt.
I'll feed it to you like the scientist eats pudding. Okay, there you go.
Here you go. Next time I'll bring two. There's plenty of honey to share.
No, you don't have to bring some for you. Notice I never even mentioned the corn going to him. No, that's not going to happen. Oh, look at Brett's giving me. Put that in with HR, okay? Yeah. There you go. There's your HR complaint for the day. Thanks for coming on out. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You, of course, I think, DFLers, if you were in the metro area right now, what I think we need to understand is we are one party. And there's sometimes a tendency to focus on the city, sometimes focus on the suburbs. Reality is that the DFL, there is a very simple reason the DFL has control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's race, and that is because we ran people everywhere. And the Republicans could not take seats for granted, including your district, which was pretty beat red, right?
Sometimes I like to say it's so red it's crimson.
Okay.
Overall, I got 28% of the vote, but there were portions of the district that I was as low as 20.
Well, you as well though went out there and in speaking of the slings and arrows, that was hard because right now, and I think some of these districts, as you noticed, you know, you just go out there to do a parade and you're putting a target on yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I would say parades were the most hostile. There were some towns, you know, what they yell at you takes a lot of, it almost pierces the armor. It takes a lot of emotional armor, in a sense, mm-hmm. to put that on so that it doesn't break you, I guess, in a sense of walking a parade. And so that's why I was, you know, sitting here observing the interview with Representative Omar, and it was very inspiring because I know she fields so much criticism and verbal abuse, and
imagine.
She is so strong. And so someone like me watches her and thinks, how can I be that strong? You know, because I experienced that too, but I think on a far lesser scale than someone like Representative Omar.
I can't even comprehend. I mean, I really can't because, I mean, that is... Every day it's like a Taylor Swift song. You know, it's 7 a.m. What are you doing already here? By the way, they didn't mention that the insults during the parades and the Jason Aldean song. That was never in there.
Oh no. Smaller the town, the worse the insults. I'm going to say from experience. Oof.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But you are, let's talk a little bit about some of these issues out there because we need to focus on this. I was just reading a story out of St. Cloud Times this afternoon. I had lunch with this wonderful friend of mine, and then I basically went home and prepped the show. I had lunch with her. Anyway, so I was reading the story about the lack of daycare in St. Cloud in central Minnesota. Housing, daycare, these are becoming massive issues. They are major issues here in the cities. They're major issues, well, maybe not as bad in the suburbs, but in rural Minnesota, these are... You know, economy and community crippling problems where they don't have affordable housing and they do not have daycare for people to be able to drop their kids off so they can go work.
Absolutely. Speaking from my own experience, and you know, my children are old enough now where I don't need daycare. Mm-hmm. But when they still were in daycare, you know, you would think about maybe we'll have another one, and you first checked with your daycare provider. You know,
you
like
did.
Will you be having an opening? You know, and I've also heard other people say like they determine whether or not they're going to have another child based on is there any place of open? Is there a spot open? And this is just as big of a problem in Greater Minnesota as it is here in the metro. And I will say, you know, there are communities that are getting creative. I want to I don't know if you read the Star Tribune on Sunday, where they talked about Laverne in Rock County, yeah. which is in the far southwest corner, you know, touching South Dakota. And they have come up with an ingenious idea. They're creating a daycare center in that town through a partnership. You know, they're getting federal dollars, but there's mm-hmm. also community buy-in, donations. Mm-hmm. And they are working together because they realize if you don't have childcare, you can't attract a workforce. You know, mm-hmm. people can't go to work if you can't find someone to raise your kid or to, not to raise your kids, but to watch your kids. So it's just as important out in greater Minnesota as it is here in the metro.
Well, and it's becoming a bit of an awakening here because, and I'll say this, these people have been represented by Republicans forever, and Democrats, I know a lot of Democrats in the state that have tried to deal with the issues, Iron Range DFLers who have been trying to deal with the problem of daycare particularly. Is there ever a sticker shock more than that first kid when you take him into it? Oh my goodness, that scares you. But the reality is now the same people that they keep electing, they're the ones that are stopping any help from coming to these communities. And so now, you look down there, it's like they are going to the federal government. There is this understanding. It's like, well, we have this legitimate problem. And it doesn't do a person any good to have to drive 40 miles to the nearest town to drop off a kid, then drive 40 miles back just to work. I mean, gas costs, you know, time commitments, the stresses of it all. I'm of the mindset, I hope the state does at some point look into investing into some sort of maybe a state daycare system where it's something that's offered out there, kind of like I've said for the seniors in rural Minnesota, an expanding of the metro mobility program statewide so that people can get to the grocery store and get to church and have no problems and still be able to live on their phone farms, which may be 3 or 4 miles out of town. I think that there are some common sense ideas that can be done. Maybe hopefully this next term, with still the DFL trifecta in the state, we might be able to get some of these things done. But they have to make sure you're looking at this practically because this is stuff that's kind of really crippling rural Minnesota and forcing people to move out of the rural parts of the state.
I agree. And what's so frustrating is that our Republican representatives always say no to, you know, they vote no to these programs and this funding that is going to help greater Minnesota, that will help invest in our communities and make it better. I call them a bunch of naysayers, right?
I call them a different term.
I call them naysayers. They're constantly saying no to these proposals and these bills, but they never offer anything, you know, better or instead of, right? They just vote no. And I think what the DFL really needs to do now is just like promote what we've done. Like, look at all the things the trifecta delivered.
Oh my goodness.
For greater Minnesota to make this not only to make your life better, your family's life better, our communities better. We've got money for infrastructure. We've got money for our law enforcement agencies.
Free school lunches.
We've got free school lunches, right? Oh. You don't always have to be checking your school lunch account. Like, oh my gosh, I got to put more money into that, right?
By the way, how much is that per year? It's $500 here in the suburbs per year per kid. Is that the same price?
That's about ballpark for them. It's about the same.
Hey, Republicans, good luck on trying to repeal that one.
Right, I know. And so I think the DFL just needs to constantly be promoting this, trumpeting from the rooftops. Look at all that we've done to help rural communities. Mm. And, you know, maybe we can get a few people, you know, in the next 3 years, might change their vote, right? The next DFL candidate can get more than 28%.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where you just have to keep hammering that home. I've actually of the mindset, I think that in every town in outstate Minnesota, the DFL should be putting billboards up saying, you know, we did this. DFL did this, not the Republicans. And I don't care how brutal it is. I don't care if you're afraid the billboards are getting vandalized. If you don't go out there and trumpet what you have done for these people, then because I guarantee the Republicans are already taking credit for the bills they voted against. And that's the crazy part. But the Republicans, you know, they'll sit there and they'll vilify teachers and then have the sincere earnestness to come on out and say, why doesn't anybody want to teach in the school district? I don't know, Johnny Jenkins. And I've got a suggestion. It might be you. But they are not helping. I'll give you another one that might not be necessarily direct to you, but I mean, deer hunters and stuff, and of course, a lot of deer hunters out in your area, chronic wasting disease. We had Ohio had to cancel their entire hunting season because chronic wasting disease was that bad. We know this is a problem. And the last session, the Republicans refused to do anything to help. This is hunting season, for goodness sakes. You're not helping. You're only getting in the way of things. And,
you know, it's there are way too many Republicans in this state who don't want to be a representative or senator. They want to be an internet troll. And that, I think, is what's really causing problems. And I think this is kind of the dynamic they're having to deal with, is because people, I think, turn to the DFL because the reality is the other side's just not there. And I know your district was really red, but the reality is we still have a trifecta in the state. And a lot of that has to do with you. I'll get back to that here in a second. But people just, you're not doing anything. Stop it. You know, help. And the contrast here this year, as you said, I mean, that is a laundry list. And on top of what Representative Omar put out there, that infrastructure bill, I guarantee you, within 10 miles, 20 miles of everyone's house, there is a project on that, in that bill, that's getting done. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely. I've driven a lot of the summer around Minnesota, and everywhere there is road construction, which is a little frustrating right now, but I have to keep reminding myself, this is making better roads, and I will be so grateful once this is done.
Water treatment plant in Marshall, is it? You guys got a good one out there now?
We got a good one right now. But I know, for example, with our DFL trifecta, they have gotten a lot more funding for our rural water systems.
Good.
So the Red Rock water system, the Pipestone Lincoln water system. So there, and the city of Tyler got money for their water treatment plant. So they're, you know, they have done so many good things for our local communities. It's our job. And I know I speak as the Lyon County DFL chair. We had this giant banner made up for our fair. So at the fair, we have this giant banner. What have Minnesota Democrats done for you? Mm. And it just lists, like, I think we've got like 20 different things on there. So we're there. We're promoting it. We're trumpeting it as much as we can.
Well, and I think the state party needs to get out there and help you guys a lot more, because, you know, you need to, you know, we're on the side of the people in these districts. The Republicans aren't. That's just that clear. Anita Gall is joining us right now. Lyon County DFL chair. Hello there. Okay, I buried the lead. First of all, how's summer going out there? I mean, for you, you've been traveling around a lot, but I mean, what are you seeing out in rural Minnesota right now?
Well, I will say, from where I'm at, we're dry. I think most like everywhere in Minnesota could sure use some rain. I hear maybe Saturday we might get some rain, but you can really tell that the crops are looking quite stressed. Things are getting a little dire, so everyone put out a good word and hope for some rain.
Are you at the point now? I mean, obviously, I imagine some are into the watering of it there. I mean, that's very costly, very expensive to pull that off. It's kind of one of those things. Are they having to bring in the watering programs now on this?
Well, there's very little irrigation in Southwest Minnesota. Generally, you know, we get enough rainfall that it's not necessary. Once you get more into Central Minnesota is when you start seeing the irrigation happening. So right now we're just hoping for a good rain shower.
the status of the farmer out there, has it been, since we last talked, I mean, is the outlook for the farmer out there looking better in your mind?
I think so. Farming is always different. If land prices are so high right now, and input costs are so high, but when you're in farming, it's always a difficult business. I know my brother took over the family farm about 5 years ago, and you know, he's a diversified farmer. He raises natural hogs, grass-fed beef. He has bees. He has sheep. So because he has a diversified income, he's making a go of it. He's terribly busy, though. The other day he calls and I'm like, I don't know, I just work so hard, I never have time to do anything. I'm like, well, it's that, and you got four little kids. So
when you do have time, it's already booked. When you do that, and just for the layman person that's listening to you right now, when you have a diversified farm like that, and you are dealing with specialized product, do you get a better payday? I mean, a lot of times with farmers, it's, you know, you take it to the elevator, you're getting the bushel price, you know, you get one big check, and you kind of, that stretches through the year. When you're doing it as he is, I mean, is it one of those things where you're getting a little more, you know, spacing between paydays if you're getting a payday? I mean, is it a better system, do you think?
Well, it's, you don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah,
it's a diversified
exactly.
income stream, right? So if pork prices are down, you know, hopefully wheat prices are up. Or because he doesn't raise just corn and soybeans. He does a lot of small grains as well. So with a diversified income stream like that, you know, you can sort of mitigate your risk a little bit, and then you don't have all your eggs in one basket, right? So that if the price of beef is low, you're like, oh my word, how am I going to make it through this year? You know, hopefully some other income stream is doing all right. So, you know, he is fortunate in that he has a strong enough farm where he is making a livable income. His wife is able to stay home, and they have four little kids, so she's busy. but they make a go of it. But yeah, it is a lot of work, but I'm immensely proud of him because he's dedicated to the land. He's keeping the family farm alive, and he's carrying on, you know, the farm that he is. Inherited from my father, and he's doing a great job.
And good for him. And it's an easy story to like. It is an easy story to like. It's salt of the earth. It is. It's not a Jason Aldean story. It's your brother. It's people going out there and working the farm and doing what they can to get by, and then hanging out with the kids. And yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. So we need to maybe do a fundraiser for a vacation for him. Maybe we do that, something like that.
Maybe just a little time off. He's usually just so tired. Well, of course, it is summer. It is the peak season. Yeah.
We'll get a nice bed someplace out in the woods and quiet.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just need a little peace and quiet. Yeah.
One last issue. Specifically about the rural Minnesota broadband, is it getting better out there?
It is getting better, and with the state and the federal dollars coming in, I think it's going to get even better, which is about time, because just because we live out in greater Minnesota doesn't mean we need good, strong, reliable, fast speed internet. You know, everybody needs it to do business. So
it's medical, it's educational, it's farming,
exactly.
It's everything. I'm going to. If I may, I want every DFL right now to listen to me right now. You know why we have all three controlling bodies of the legislative branch, including the executive branch and the governor's office. We have that because of people like Anita. When you run DFLers in every district, even the beat red ones, they are forced to spend money in those districts. They're forced to put volunteers out in those districts. Wisconsin has had problems. You know why? Because they don't run Democrats in all their districts, and it shows, because it puts extra pressure on the toss-up districts, because Republicans are going to just put tons of money into those districts. What Anita did was go on out there into an area where she put a target on herself just by saying, I'm a Democrat, I'm a DFLer, I'm running for this office. And she put up with it, and she ran, and you lost. But because you did this, we all won. That's just the reality. We owe you and every DFLer that ran out in rural Minnesota a huge round of applause, because this would not have happened without you. And if we forget that, then shame on us, because you are the reason why the DFL in Minnesota is a shining star in this country right now. And I am eternally grateful for all you've done. You have been magnificent.
Wow, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this praise, but I'm just happy I could do my part, because what the trifecta has delivered this session is just, it's wonderful. You know, as Governor Wallace said, Minnesota has become an island of decency, right? An island, and I'm proud to live in this island of decency.
You come back anytime. Anytime you want. Well, you don't have to bring honey and corn. You don't. Mm. You know, other products. Now, tell me all he does.
I'm going to say, there might be other things that I could bring you from the farm, you know? They've got a freezer full of meat. So.
This is how you get me wrapped around your little finger. Anita Gall, the chair of the Lyon County DFL and last year's Senate District 15 candidate. Anytime you want to come back, you're an absolute hero, and I adore you. Thank you for all you've done for the state of Minnesota.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Angela Warner for Warner Stellium. Sometimes appliances break. Other times you spend years wishing they would. We get it. That's why right now we're paying you to upgrade with our trade-in sale. We'll pay you $50 for each appliance you replace. Our in-store specialists take out the guesswork of wondering what's the best one and which one will fit. Then Warner Stallion Professional Crews will deliver, install, and take your old stuff away, saving you time and money. So outsource your stress and shop family-owned Warner Stallion.
AM 950's newest weeknight show, Ghost Box Radio, is giving away passes to the advanced screening of The Legend of Dracula Is Born, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. The advanced screening is on Wednesday, August 9th at AMC in Rosedale. Tune in or watch Ghost Box Radio Live on Facebook tonight at 10 for your chance to win. Join host Greg Bakken every weeknight for his great insight and riveting guests as he steps into the unknown. Ghost Box Radio Live, weeknights, 10 o'clock on AM 950.
Hey, AM 950 listeners. My name is JP Derbogosian, and I host This Queer Book, Save My Life, the show where LGBTQ guests discuss the queer books that saved their lives in conversation with the very authors who wrote them. This week, I sit down with advocate James Darville to talk about the memoir, The Evening Crowd at Kermser's, and Gerardo Samano Cordova tells us about his new horror novel, Monstrillo. I hope you can join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to CafeLatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at CafeLatte.com.
The progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I love when I can mail it in for a day. God, what an hour, man. What a freaking hour of radio, man.
This is only getting better, isn't it, next hour?
Well, not really. I mean, hold on there, oh, Brett. Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's for real, man. Robert Barilla's in town. We're going to chat with him about 4:35. He's been all over the place, man. He was playing St. Louis. He was headlining in St. Louis for a while. He's, you know... I proudest punch of the kid, man. I can call him kid because I'm an old man now. But, oh, man. Barill, fantastic. He's joining us coming up here. And, of course, spotlighting both of those interviews, you can listen to Representative Ilhan Omar and Anita Gall at your leisure. Just head on over to your favorite podcast site and podcast away, my friends. So I want to read you. This is Scott McFarlane. He does CBS News. He's at the Trump trial. I want to just read this. I haven't read this. I'm just going to go through this because apparently things were delayed a little bit. So Trump is in the courtroom. I want to lay the scene here. Trump is, hello, I'm Donald E. Should I sign an autograph for the judge? I don't know if he did that.
Hopefully it's like a plea agreement instead.
Oh, God. Insanity. Insanity, Your Honor.
Sure, Mr. Trump, you can sign an autograph for me.
X, I didn't know you were a fan of Twitter. Anyway, Scott McFarlane from CBS News. I'm just reading through his Twitter feed right now because this is pretty precious. DC police officer, well, this is actually, how about this? DC police officer Daniel Hodges, who was crushed in the door by the rioters by the Capitol attack, he arrived at the courthouse for today's hearing. Also, retired Sergeant Aquino Gunnell, who was also there. The initial appearance in the felony case of former U.S. president is running late. Judge has not entered yet. Trump must sit and wait. Trump is fidgety. I mean, when's the last time has anyone made him sit idle and wait? Nearly 20 minutes and counting for Trump in that black rolling chair. No defense table, no judge yet. Judge enters the courtroom. The judge entered the courtroom 5 minutes later. Trump shifts his body to face judge. Ugh. Thomas Windham and Molly Gaston are representing the special counsel. Gaston presented the indictment of the grand jury on Tuesday. Judge calls him Mr. Trump. In Florida, federal judge used title of former President Trump. Judge begins by reminding all the courthouse not to record any images or photos. Phones are off in the courtroom itself. Trump stands, raises right hand, takes the oath. Hello, I'm Donnie T. Who needs an autograph? Judge again calling him Mr. Trump. God, that's got to just degrade him. Says she will arraign Trump today and consider any conditions for Trump's release. And now the judge gets called Trump, sir. Trump. Sir, are these your curly fries, sir? Trump tells judge his name is Donald J. Trump. John is the J. I don't know if he said that. She asks his age. Trump says 77. Trump is making no use of pen or paper nearby. Does he ever? Trump's hands are clasped on his lap. He's leaning forward, almost hunched. Judge warns Trump, anything he says can be used against him in future proceedings. He says yes. Judge inflames Trump that he can't afford a lawyer. One could be provided for him. I imagine he thought about that for a second. More on this one, return hour two up next.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.